আলহামদুলিল্লাহ রব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল আম্বিয়া ওয়াল মুরসালিন আম্মা বাদ ফাআউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নবিয়াল্লাহ My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Qadni channel, there are countless blessings of reciting durood and salam on the best of creation, the seal of prophethood, peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "The person closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would have recited salat upon me abundantly in the dunya." Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, intentions play an absolutely crucial role in our life. Their importance can be realized from this saying of our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, "Innamal a'malu bin niyyat," that actions are dependent upon intentions. Therefore, I make the intention that I record this silsila to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and for the benefit of the people. You can also make some good intentions to gain some reward. You can also make intentions that I will try to watch this silsila with full attention and remove any obstacles that will come in the way of my concentration. Whatever I will learn, I will try to remember by making notes if possible, and I will try to act upon this information and also convey it to others. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, welcome to our silsila, The Burning Issues. In this silsila, we try to learn about important social aspects of our daily life that have significant impact, not just on an individual, but also on the family unit, the wider community and the nation as a whole. The aim of this silsila is to develop a basic understanding of these issues so that we can bring a change within us, a change that will be positive, leading to peace and tranquility in our homes and our neighborhood. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni channel, in today's episode of The Burning Issues, we will try to learn about the teenage years, a stage in every adult's life that is most delicate and most turbulent, a phase of our life that is full of turmoils due to naturally changing hormones, changes in body shape, and also the demands of the society and the needs of the society and so forth. It is during these teenage years that our personality takes the final form and we set the foundations upon which we will build our entire life. Both the teenagers and their parents go through a particularly stressful stage during these teenage development. It is usually difficult for teenagers to decide what to do in a particular situation. This indecisiveness is an integral part of teens' psychosocial development. It is this indecisiveness that causes emotional stress and conflicts both in teenagers and their parents. If these conflicts are better understood and dealt with in a positive manner, then without doubt the teenager will turn out to be a happy, well-adjusted and responsible member of the family and the whole community. Teenagers, they are the strength of our future. They need a lot of positive strategies to deal with their shortcomings, to help them build their self-esteem and prevent them from becoming intolerant of opposing views. Emotional stress caused due to various challenges and expectations during teenage years can have lasting effects on the psychosocial development and mental well-being of these individuals. In this episode, we will try to learn the basic psychological principles that underpin the changes taking place in a teen's mind with an aim to develop a better understanding of these phenomena so that we can help our teenage children become a responsible and well-adjusted member of our society. We will also try to understand some of the fears that a teenager faces during this development and how we should help them deal with these fears. And finally, we will try to learn the importance of both mother and the father in the upbringing of their teenage children. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, all the creatures of this universe, from their birth to their death, they go through a process of development. Parts of this development can be observed with our own eyes, for example, children growing in their body size. Whereas more crucial aspects of this development are hidden from our eyesight. For example, understanding the world around us. As parents, we need to be mindful to both physical and psychosocial developments of our children. If we are not, then we will fail to nourish and nurture these developmental needs. Generally speaking, majority of parents are well aware of the physical growth and they try to meet the needs of their children by providing them with appropriate clothing, shoes, and other equipment. However, when it comes to psychosocial development of our children, many parents fail miserably to understand and provide adequate nourishment for this crucial aspect of development. Many of the viewers may be left wondering, so what is this psychosocial development that I have been mentioning quite a few times? Psychosocial development is defined as the progressive interaction between a person, between an individual, and their environment through stages beginning in infancy and ending in adulthood. It basically defines our interaction with other individuals and how we relate to people around us. Although this process of development continues throughout our life, but significant psychosocial development is achieved during the teenage years. There is a whole field of psychology that purely deals with development of human beings, and it is called developmental psychology. Developmental psychology is the scientific study of how and why human beings change over the course of their life. Originally concerned with infants and children, this field of psychology has expanded to include adolescence, adult development, aging, and the entire lifespan. There have been many other theories that have been proposed to deal with different aspects of our development. We will try to learn some aspects of those theories so that we can have a better understanding of psychosocial development of our children with an aim to give them all the necessary help they need to become productive member of our society. These are, after all, psychological theories. Changes in the field of scientific knowledge are taking place every day as we begin to unravel the mysteries of human mind. Understanding these theories is neither necessary nor sufficient for the upbringing of our children. However, we will realize that having some form of understanding of the psychological principles that underpin the behavior of teenagers will definitely be advantageous in their upbringing. Adolescents in early teens psychologically leave behind their childhood and they begin inspecting the adult world that lies ahead. The biggest and most obvious change that takes place is their physical growth. Teenage development is a phase of rapid physical growth that lasts for 4 to 5 years. When on average, children gain approximately 9 centimeters in height every year. This growth spurt of teenage development brings in sudden changes in children's body structure. It is therefore only natural that children are anxious about their appearance during this phase of teenage development. They usually compare their looks and their body structure with the media models, who all are projected to be very so thin females and muscular males. It is this image of the media models that leads to significant amount of anxiety and uncertainty within the minds of teenagers. They will become very conscious about their appearance, and they will try to do different things to keep themselves slim or masculine, or keep themselves looking the same as these role models are portrayed to be. Some teenagers, especially females, they may develop a distorted view of their body where they believe they're too fat despite being normal weight. This distorted view of their body will lead them to eating disorders. They will either not eat much to not gain any weight, or on the other hand, they will binge eat, followed by attempts to get rid of the calories by either induced vomiting or using laxatives. Around 1 in 250 women and 1 in 2,000 men will experience what we call anorexia. This is an eating disorder at some point in their life. The condition usually develops around the age of 15, 16 or 17 years of age. These eating disorders, they are 7 to 10 times more common in females. It is absolutely essential that parents recognize this, as help can be given to treat these disorders. Otherwise, teenagers will develop a number of different mental health problems due to their anxieties, and sometimes this can also lead to serious problems with their physical health as well. Boys, on the other hand, they tend to be preoccupied with building muscles and having a lean, slim body. They will join gym where they will pump up their muscles and also use steroids and special diets to help maintain their physique. Once again, there is so much media hype about protein-based diets and use of steroids. There is also the peer pressure of who has got the biggest biceps and who's got smartest six-packs. Using steroids and specific diets can be damaging to the physical health in the long run. This culture of bodybuilding also exposes our children to a number of other social problems, which includes drugs and relationship with opposite gender. As a Muslim parent, it is our obligation that we guide our teenagers during this very delicate phase of their development. Parents must first learn about healthy weight, balanced diet, what is body mass index, and then teach their children about the importance of all of these parameters of their life. Parents must also know about our weekly requirements for physical exercise, which is approximately 2.5 hours of moderate intensity exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity exercise each week. The difference between moderate and vigorous intensity exercises, the moderate intensity exercises which increases your heart rate and makes you breathe faster in a manner that you are still able to have a conversation in full sentences. But if you are asked to recite a naat, due to faster breathing, you will not be able to do so. We need 30 minutes of this moderate intensity exercise 5 days a week to make it up to 2.5 hours. Vigorous intensity exercises, which that increases your heart rate and makes you breathe heavily, that holding a conversation becomes difficult. You cannot actually speak full sentences, but you have to pause every few words to catch your breath. 75 minutes of this type of exercise is all that you need. Research shows that this type of exercise is best for both physical well-being and mental well-being of an individual. This can all be achieved from the comfort of your own home. One does not need to join the gym for this. Children also need to be taught about the Islamic concept of healthy living, manners of eating, and the real aim of our creation. It is these years of youth during which we have pristine health. We should use this blessing of good health to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in abundance and develop the mindset of preparing for our world hereafter. Rather than being excessively conscious about our calories or our physical appearance, we should focus on developing a status in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. If parents can give this mindset to their teenagers, then they will see the benefits of this in both worlds. However, it is important to approach your teenagers in a sensitive manner with affection so that they think of parents as being on their side rather than their enemies. We need to teach children about healthy body image because a healthy body image is important for building positive self-esteem during adolescence. We also need to cultivate healthy eating food habits right from preteen years. For this, parents must read Islamic manners of eating, or excellence of hunger, or method of losing weight, which are publications of Maktabatul Madina, the printing press of Dawat Islami. All of these books are freely available from Dawat Islami website, www.dawatislami.net. Parents need to supervise and guide their teenage children every step of this journey. They will be extremely shy in terms of discussing these feelings with their parents. However, parents should develop such a relationship with their children that their child should feel comfortable sharing all of their feelings with them. How this can be achieved was discussed in the second and third episode of this silsila. Failing to develop this confiding relationship with your child will mean that your teenager will be getting wrong advice from their friends, and then we will lose the game and blame the culture. Parents must be affectionate to their children through this delicate stage. If you get angry or upset with them unnecessarily, the desire to share their feelings with their friends and the desire to build up a relationship with someone else who listens to them will grow in their developing but yet immature mind. When we know that our teenager is going to develop these feelings of love, which is a natural part of their growing up, then this is a great opportunity for Muslim parents to teach their children about the love that really matters. First of all, we should inculcate in our children the love for Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We should develop in their mind the love for the reading of the Holy Quran. We should teach them the love of Ahle Bayt, the family of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We should read to them the true stories of deep love and devotion of our pious predecessors from the teachings of Islam. Parents must ask themselves this question: if we are able to develop and nourish this type of love in the hearts of our teenage children, then how is it possible that they will fall in love with the opposite gender? If we can teach our children this type of love, and we ourselves practically demonstrate this type of love in front of our teenage children, then we will see the blessings of this in our teenage children. Their behavior will be exemplary. Their love for the family will be unrivaled. Their passion for betterment of the community will be extraordinary. Sadly, because parents pay no attention to molding the feelings of their teenage children in the right direction, as a consequence, our child falls in love with all the wrong stuff. If we wish to develop this true love in our children, in ourselves, in our family members, then come and join the Madani environment of Dawat Islami. Choose your role model to be Sheikh Tariqat Amir Al Sunnah, founder of Dawat Islami, Walana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, and find out for yourself what is true love. What is love for Allah Azza wa Jal? What is the love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the love for the worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and the recitation of the Holy Quran? And what is the love for the family and other members of the community? If your teenage child ends up following in the footsteps of this great devotee of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you will reap the reward in both worlds, inshallah Azza wa Jal. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madin Channel, another turmoil that teenagers face in their life is uncertainty and indecisiveness about the decisions they need to make in their life. During this phase, teenagers, they develop a questioning attitude towards the parents and the life around them. They can become quarrelsome and unwilling to share their problems. They may want to be independent and free of their family. They may become moody and uncomfortable with themselves and their surroundings. It is the adolescent's ambivalence that causes significant emotional distress and conflicts between teenagers and their parents. But this ambivalence is an integral part of teens' psychosocial development. But why is it that teenagers are ambivalent? Why can they not think about their future? Why do they make irrational decisions? Why do they only live in right here, right now? My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, this happens because the brain of teenager is still in the process of development. Maturation of neural synapses continues well into teens and adulthood, but at a much slower pace. Studies show that the connections between neurons affecting emotional, physical, and mental abilities are incomplete in adolescence. This is what usually causes teenagers to exhibit ambivalence almost in every approach. The immature neuronal connections between emotional, physical, and mental abilities explains the impulsiveness. It also explains the lack of judgment and episodic emotional outbursts seen in teenage children. With progressive cognitive development, adolescence thinking becomes more logical and less self-centered. They become more future-orientated and they're able to make long-term plans like choosing a profession and pursuing career-orientated studies. Parents therefore need to show huge amount of patience during this phase of ambivalence in their teenage child development. Parents are the source of teenagers' emotional and psychological security, thereby the force behind their success. Youth, they are the strength of our future. Parents must help them through adolescent development rather than humble them for their ambivalence. Adolescents need a lot of positive reinforcement rather than criticism for their shortcomings. This helps build their self-esteem and prevents them from becoming a perfectionist, an absolutist, and intolerant of opposing views. Small amount of understanding and patience on parents' behalf will definitely help their teenager to finally emerge as happy, well-adjusted individual. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madni Channel, I would now like to discuss a very important and sensitive part of our development, and that is fear. Fear is a natural part of our development. As uncomfortable as it can be to experience feelings of fear, it is an essential developmental process that prepares us to navigate through difficult situations. Fear can create a positive motivational experience, resulting in a sense of confidence and empowerment. In fact, experiencing fear may even influence teenagers to behave in safer ways. For example, a child who is afraid of heights, he may avoid climbing on objects that he or she may fall off from. Fears change across ages and stages of development. For example, a baby develops fear of loud noises between the age of birth and 6 months. Fear of strangers is only developed from 7 to 12 months of age. Those of us who have children, they will agree that up to the age of 6 months, your baby can be given to anyone without him crying. However, roughly from the 7 months, the baby begins to recognize who is family and who are strangers. This is why when your 6 months or older baby is picked up by anybody other than the family member, he or she will start crying. And when the baby reaches the age of 1 year, he or she will develop the fear of separation from parents. And now he needs his parents all the time with him. However, slowly and slowly, we all learn to deal with these fears to different degrees. During teenage years, commonly developed fears include exams, failures in life, and the fear of death. Teenagers also begin to worry about family concerns, personal relations, punishments, war, crime, etc. I would like to particularly focus on the fear of exams, failure in life, and the fear of death. Clearly, these are major fears that remain with us throughout our life, and some of these fears can lead to significant anxiety. Exams are an integral part of our life, and failing in exams significantly impacts on our future prospects. This is the main battlefield between parents and teenagers, where parents are always going on about studying hard to succeed in the exam. Countless number of times parents remind their children that if they fail in their exams, they will not have a good future. Teenagers react as if they have not heard a word, and this battle ends damaging the relationship between parents and teenagers. It is common sense to conclude the more you worry about the exams, more preparation you will make, and this will increase the chances of your success. The more you strive, more you reduce the chances of failure in your life. What about the fear of death? None of us talk about death because we are all afraid of death. This fear remains hidden deep inside the abyss of our cognition. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, especially teenage viewers, let me make a point here. Earlier on, we heard that experiencing fear may even influence us to behave in safer ways. If we are aware of a particular fear or danger, then we may adopt a behavior that will help us succeed in that fearful or dangerous situation. So why do we not then make ourselves aware of the pains of death? Why do we not make ourselves aware of the test in the grave and the test on the day of judgment? Why is it that we only bother about failing worldly exams and completely ignore the risk of failure in the world hereafter? In essence, all that should matter for a Muslim is success in the grave and the success on the day of judgment. Worldly status has no correlation with success on the day of judgment. We must develop the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. We must develop the fear of failing the test of the grave and then the test on the day of judgment. Once we develop these fears, then we will see the benefits of this. All other irrelevant worldly fears will diminish. Just the way we fear criminal justice system and abide by the rules and regulations of the land. Only if we were to develop similar fear for Allah Azza wa Jal and abide by the rules and regulations set by the teachings of Islam. How many parents utilize this understanding and make their teenagers develop the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal? fear of failing in the tests of the grave and fear of failing on the day of judgment. My dear brothers and viewers of Bhadni channel, this is the root cause of our problems. Not just teenagers, but the adults as well. If we really wish to develop all the right fears and get rid of the unnecessary fears, then there is no better environment than the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami. I urge parents and teenagers to embrace this beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami and witness for yourself the benefits of this environment. My dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel, and especially all the parents, have you ever seen that in the wild, when an animal gives birth, then how the mother protects the newborn? If she doesn't, then wild animals will kill and eat every single part of that vulnerable baby. Our teenagers are in an even worse situation. Shaitan is waiting to snatch them from us the moment they get out of our sight. Their developing mind is oblivious to the tricks of Shaitan. Before they even realize, they get trapped like a fly in spider's web, and then there is no way out. Parents are obliged, parents are duty bound to protect their vulnerable teenagers from the wild society. The protection only lies in the cage of Islamic teachings. Parents must clearly demarcate for their children the boundaries of this cage so that they can protect themselves by remaining within this boundary. Sometimes fathers place the responsibility solely on the mother for upbringing the children. This is not right, even from Islamic teachings point of view. And this is also not right from worldly research point of view. Recent research has looked towards the father as having an important role in child development. Affirming a role for fathers, studies have shown that children as young as 15 months benefit significantly from substantial engagement with their father. My dear brothers and viewers of Madni channel, sadly I have come to the end of this episode of Burning Issues. I certainly learnt a great deal about parenting from preparing for this silsila, and I hope you have also picked up some Madni pearls listening to this. May Allah give us all the ability to fulfill our obligation in the best manner possible. May Allah protect our teenagers and make them obedient to their parents and teachings of Islam. I cannot emphasize enough the importance of Dawat-e-Islami in terms of helping both parents and teenagers to achieve all these goals and become successful in both worlds. In the next episodes, inshallah azza wa jal, we will come with another topic, another important topic. Until then, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعليه وسلم.